We have all had to face momentous decisions that affect our whole lives, perhaps to do with marriage or a career or a place of work. In the eyes of God, though these decisions be important, they are not so important as the clear decision we have to make all the time between right and wrong. There may be times when we really know what is right, but still struggle with the decision, because to choose the wrong in the short term would be easier for us. The example of this in the Bible is Pontius Pilate, the man who made the final decision to hand over Jesus for crucifixion. In the short term, he was saved a lot of trouble. But in the long term, all the Christian world, when it recites the Apostles' Creed, says of Jesus, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. In Matthew 27, verse 22, we read this. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. It was a question he was asking the crowd. But it's also clear it was a question he was asking himself. What am I going to do with Christ? Let's get the situation clear. These events took place at the hands of in the land of the Jewish people, in their city of Jerusalem. Small country in the vast Roman Empire, not a free country. It was ruled by the Romans. The head of the Roman Empire was Caesar. Caesar appointed military governors to rule different parts of the empire. The governor appointed by Caesar over this little part of the empire of Judea was Pilate. He was not a Jew, he was a Roman. And the Romans didn't want to crucify Jesus. It was the Jewish religious leaders who did want him to be crucified. The Romans weren't interested in this particular question. They regarded it as just a local dispute amongst the Jews. Jesus' first trial, then, was before the Jewish religious leaders called the Sanhedrin. They wanted the death penalty. But the problem was, because they weren't the government, they had no power. Only the Romans had the authority to impose the death penalty. So the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, had to invent a charge, a different charge that they had brought against him at their own trial with him. They had to invent another charge against Jesus which would convince the Romans that he deserved death. So they trumped up a charge and claimed that he was making himself out to be king of the Jews in the sense of leading a rebellion against the Romans. On testing Jesus, Pilate soon realizes that this charge is nonsense. And he knows that the true motive of the religious Jewish leaders was sheer envy. Jesus was doing something that they couldn't do. He was bringing the very presence of God into the midst of Israel. He was doing that with a humble heart, a liberating word, a word which went right to the hearts of his hearers. That's something that they could not do, and they were very envious. But Pilate was soon to discover that Jesus was to bring the very presence of God to him as well. And as Pilate faces the face of Jesus, he comes face to face with the ultimate questions of eternity, of truth, and of the reality of God. The ultimate questions which all of us must face. So we look at John chapter 18. At first, Pilate seems rather fed up with the whole business. We read in verse 29 onwards, John 18, verse 29. So Pilate came out to them and asked, What charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. Pilate was fed up with this. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. But the Jews demand that Pilate deal with the matter because they wanted the death penalty. So Pilate has to question Jesus further. Read verse 35 at the end of the verse onwards. Pilate says, ask Jesus, what is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Two things there. First of all, Jesus reassures Pilate that he is not threatening the Roman Empire. He does that by saying, my kingdom is not of this world. But in the same words, Jesus also gives a gentle warning to Pilate that there is another kingdom, although it's not of this world. And that's something that Pilate must know. Now, you and I live under many authorities or kingdoms. We may have employers. We may think of ourselves as under the authority of, say, the government, the magistrates, the police. That's fine, there's nothing wrong with that. But there is another authority, another kingdom, of which we must be aware. And it has an eternal claim upon us. Next, Jesus appeals to Pilate's sense of truth. Verse 37. You're a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of the truth listens to me. And let me just give a little personal word. When I preach here Sunday by Sunday, the appeal I feel I'm making is this. Can't you see that what I'm trying to explain is true? I might be saying, can't you see that what I'm trying to say is helpful? Well, that would be hopeful case, but deeper than that, whether or not you find it immediately helpful, I want you to say, can't you see that it's true? It's truth that matters, really. So we have to come face to face with truth. We must not hide in the sands of this passing world. Many people today are very cynical about all belief. You've only got to watch the TV to see comedy programs mocking Christian faith. I wonder if deep down these people really are cynical. Could it be that they merely use their cynicism to hide from the truth? Pilate pretends to be cynical. He pretends to be cynical. Verse 38, at the beginning, he says, what is truth? What is it? That was a cynical question. What is it? What is truth? Says Jesus. But deep down, he recognizes that he can't trifle with this matter. He's now getting very anxious to set Jesus free. Verse 38, 39. What is truth, Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. You want me to release the king of the Jews? But that doesn't work. Verse 40. They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. That doesn't work. Later, in chapter 19, verses 4, 7, once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for the charge against him. The Jews insisted, we have a law, and according to that law he must die. He was claimed to be the Son of God. Ah. Now the chief priests are being honest at last. They're being open. It's not so much that Jesus is leading a rebellion, but that he is claiming to be the Son of God. That was the original charge against him. Now Pilate could have just laughed it off, but he has had enough experience of Jesus face to face to recognize that he indeed has been in the presence of God. And so when the chief priests say this man made himself out to be the Son of God, Pilate becomes even more afraid based on the experience he's already had with Jesus. Verse 8 to 10. And when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. And Jesus gave him no answer. Then verse 10, do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said, don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Verse 10, Pilate says, where do you come from? Where do you come from? Now he realizes that his question, what shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ, is not just to do with political expediency. It's not just a question about right and wrong, but it's to do with God himself. As if to reinforce this, verse 10 again, you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said, don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Jesus makes Pilate realize that there would be no kingdoms in this world without God, by whose grace we all live and move and have our being. So now Pilate is really getting desperate. Verse 12, chapter 19. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. He's afraid and he's in a dilemma. He's afraid of the people, and he also has some fear of God. Yes, in one sense we should fear God. We have to answer to many people during our lives on this earth, but we're still accountable to God in the end. It is true that God loves us. He went to the cross for us. But think of this. With a love like that, we dare not ignore him. It's precisely because God's love is so great that we dare not ignore it. We really are accountable. We are accountable so much precisely because God's love reached the extension of the cross. The extent of the cross. For the proverb says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Later on, our love for God will cast out all fear. But there are times in life when we need to have a fear of God. Pilate, fear of the crowd is greater than the fear of God. And so he made the wrong decision. The greatest decision for all of us in life is whether to reject or accept Jesus as the Christ. To confess him before others or not. two basic reasons why Pilate made the wrong decision. Firstly, he didn't want trouble from the crowd. So he followed the way of least resistance, the easy option. Don't just take the easy option in life. You'll be a much smaller person if you do. Sometimes to do the right can cause people to dislike you. I remember when I worked as a co-op bread roundsman and we were supposed to overcharge our customers. When I didn't, I don't claim to be particularly brave in doing this, but when I didn't do this, I became disliked by all my fellow bread roundsmen. Themselves. Because of course the customers began to realize that they were being overcharged by others for bread and cakes. That's a typical example. I'm sure many of you think of many other examples in your own life. Secondly, Pilate didn't want to upset his employer, the Roman Empire. The crowd threatened to report him to being disloyal and harbouring a rebel. Pilate was afraid for his job. Now the Lord does not intend to spoil our job prospects, but sometimes living for the truth may upset our bosses. Pilate, trying to get out of the dilemma in three ways, had the idea, he said, I'll send Jesus King Herod. Now King Herod was appointed by Caesar to look after another area of the country, Galilee. That's where Jesus had come from. So Pilate thought, I'll send him to Galilee, to King Herod. Let him make the decision. Pilate thought, it's not my business after all. He tried to pass the buck. Let another decide. Herod sent Jesus back. It was his business after all. To accept or reject Christ is our business. It is our business. It really is. Some people say we're living in a post-Christian society. But whether or not we are, ultimately it's everybody's business, whether they think it or not. Secondly, Pilate tried the method of compromise. Thought, I'll just have Jesus publicly whipped, humiliated. That'll satisfy the crowd. But it didn't. We can't compromise the evil. Don't base your life's decisions on following the crowd. Jesus said it was the broad way where the crowd were walking, and that leads to destruction. Have courage to stand out from the crowd. Public opinion is not always right. That's what's wrong with democracy without God. Democracy without God, the final authority is public opinion. And that can lead to terrible things. We must have public opinion under the authority of God. Remember, it was public opinion that led to the crucifixion of Jesus more than anything else with the crowd. That's what swayed Pilate in the end. Not the chief priest, it was the crowd. It's a democratic decision to crucify Jesus. Thirdly, he makes a last desperate attempt. He says, I'm going to release the prisoner. The feast of the Passover, he had an excuse for releasing a prisoner. But unfortunately, Pilate, the crowd demanded he release Barabbas. Pilate could not avoid the decision, just as you and I cannot avoid the decision. The Lord, too, made a hard decision once. He made the decision to leave his eternal kingdom, to put himself at the mercy of the world. so that we might inherit his eternal kingdom. That is the true meekness of God. He puts himself at the mercy of the worldly powers so that we might inherit his eternal power. He came to bear the pain of heart, mind, and soul and body of all the world. And as he did so, he exposed the truth to everyone to see. The truth of the self-righteous hypocrisy of the religious leaders. The truth of the cowardice of the Roman government. The truth of the sheer indifference of the passers-by. The truth of the disloyalty of the disciples. The truth of his own everlasting love for us human beings. He decided to surrender his power to the powers of the world, so that we might share with him his powerful resurrection. For you and for me, it may be hard to decide for Christ. To decide for him, we need to look away from the crowd for a moment, and instead turn our eyes upon Jesus, looking full in his wonderful face. Then the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross in which the truth of your great love for us all is revealed. Though we're unworthy, you have affirmed us as your children. You would not cast us off, but would rather that we come to you, acknowledging our need. And so we come, Lord, at the end of this service, end of this day, we commit ourselves afresh in him who committed himself to us forever, even Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Hymn number 224. My song is Love Unknown. 224.